We're going to come back in a moment as we talk about North Korea, the kill shot, Kamet Isen, with Major Ed Dames. They call him Dr. Doom. Are you concerned about North Korea?
No, I'm concerned about something that far bigger that will eclipse that, and it's the proverbial kill shot. I think 2013 is the year it's a hot time in the old town tonight. This large passing space body, if all the people who have not seen my kill shot DVDs, and it's free. They can go to thekillshot.com and get it still. In that, you'll see I mention a large passing space body is either initiates these solar flares, these sequence of very large solar flares, or is concomitant with it, attendant with it. We think that the Ison group that discovered this very large comet, we think that Ison comet is the best candidate. All these things are fitting like pieces of a puzzle. So that's why I'm saying I'm putting my stuff on the line now, because you know that remote viewing is outside of time. That's why we have to work so hard to establish dates. But I'm saying 2013 and early 2014 is when it starts. So all that, I believe, will eclipse all these wars and rumors of war.
Well, this comet that is out there, Comet Ison, right? That could be a candidate here?
Well, that group, actually it's the group that discovered it, and it was two men in the group, one from Belarus, one a Russian. And we're saying that the comet that they discovered is very large, and it's going to pass very, it's a sun grazer. It's going to be a sun grazer, and it's going to dump dust on Earth, coming and going in 2014, early 2014. People can check this out on the Internet themselves. We're saying that plus these two other events that presage, they're not precursors of, but they presage the kill shot, it's all so close together that and because that large passing space body is the thing that triggers or is concurrent with the initiation of all these huge solar flares, we're saying that comet passes by in the late in winter, late fall and winter this year. That's when it starts. That's when we're saying it. All the stuff really starts. Now, we may have some very large solar flares before that, but we're saying when that comet passes through this neck of the woods, that's when the stuff really hits the fan.
Well, that's a good point, too. And when it does hit, it's going to hit in a very, very big way. Now, explain what you mean by the kill shot. Because to me, that sounds like everybody's wiped out.
Yeah, it was probably long ago. It was probably a bad choice of words, but I used it. I used it because on Coast to Coast, I said, "Here comes the shot across the bow of the largest solar." And 2 weeks later, largest solar flare in history popped up in 2003. And then I told Art Bell that's not the kill shot, and that term stuck. The kill shot, and all this is explained on the DVD. Folks can see this. When this large passing space body comes by, the sun begins to produce massive solar flares, not just one. So, and it does not take out all life on Earth. It begins to turn Earth into a radiation rotisserie, upper atmosphere, not only just the upper atmosphere, but and I've talked about this on your show many, many times. So that what happens is, and I'm putting together we're doing a lot of work on death zones, I call them, in-house. But the impact areas for when this starts in 2013, 2014, where are all these deaths going to occur and by what means? Most of the deaths will be of starvation because water is going to dry up. The heat will go up intensely in many parts of the world, not all over at once. So over the years, I've done a lot of private contract work for sanctuary areas, where the areas, the best survival areas will be for people. I go into their I use remote viewing for them personally. And by the antithesis of that, we're looking at where folks aren't going. For instance, I was wondering for many years why parts of British Columbia that fit as far as we're concerned, looking at hundreds and hundreds of these personal sanctuary locations, why there weren't a lot of sanctuary locations in British Columbia. Because, not near the coast, inland, because it's perfect. It's got a lot of fish, a lot of fresh water, not large population densities, educated population, blah, blah, blah. Well, it turns out that these sanctuary locations are not just sanctuaries from kill shot effects, personal sanctuary locations, but also from Fukushima. from the radiation from Fukushima, because that plume is coming down on British Columbia. Repeated, nonstop. This is not like Chernobyl where you cap it. No, this is a constant plume of radiation. And it, just like the radiation from Chernobyl, I used to live right next to Chernobyl for many years. That plume came down. Belarus took it hard. Belarus took it tough. But Sweden, children had thousands of cases of thyroid cancer because the plume was carried that way. So these sanctuary locations are also sanctuaries from all the reactors that will break and discharge radiation into both the sea and the air, plumes underwater, plumes in the air. So what we're trying to do now is look at the most dangerous areas on the planet and trying to put together some matrix to determine what people should do. And I'll pass that out. That'll be ready, but I'm going to do two terminal speaking events in Orlando and Reno in the fall. These are closed doors, and I'll tell you why in a minute, but I'll pass out those maps at those events. I have to do the events because there's so many things I cannot say in the public, in particularly media like this, that are very sensitive, not just politically incorrect, extremely sensitive, extremely important things that people need to hear about their government, about economic survival as well as regular survival. I can't do it on the air, George, so I've got to do it behind closed doors, and then people must sign a non-disclosure agreement if they come to those two speaking events.
How come? Why?
Because I'm walking the edge. I'm walking the edge. Remember,
you're laying it out this time.
I'm sorry.
You're going to lay it all out this time.
Yeah, I did that once earlier this year, and I got to do. I'm going to do it two more times. And also, by that time, things will have changed so much globally that we'll have new information to put out on the streets. But again, a lot of this is quasi classified. It's very sensitive, and I'll get you and me in trouble. And by talking just about a little bit.
Would it cause a panic?
Part of it probably would, George. Yeah, probably would. That's why I sit down behind closed doors with folks and systematically go over the stuff that they need to know, that some of them suspect conspiracy theories otherwise, but are important for them and their families. And my family, even Dr. Doom is beginning to get scared now.
Even Dr. Doom is starting to mellow a little bit, huh?
Yeah, and getting scared. When Dr. Doom gets scared, that should be a red flag to a lot of folks.
The Hopis called it the Blue Star. Revelation calls it Wormwood. Are we talking about
Casina?
Yeah, are we talking about the same thing here?
I think so. That's my surmise.
Hmm.
Yeah, when you see the Blue Star Casino dancing in the plaza, or a dancer takes his mask off, then it begins.
Is there any way around it? I mean, can we control it? Do we change? Do we have the ability to change anything?
No, we don't.
Take the time, if you can, one day to do a little remote viewing there and see if it's going to hit it or not.
Okay, I'll try to do that. Look at that. But we're very much focused on this ISON committee, this ISON society's discovery. It's very, very scary. I personally have no interest any longer. My team members do in looking past 2014. To be honest with you, I'm all going to semi-retirement if I'm still alive.